It's All Saints Day. You know, this is the day that Halloween is aimed to. It's the evening of, right? It's the reason for Halloween and all the ghoulish costumes. It's the Christian day of remembrance for the dead. It's a fitting theme, I think, for a newcomer to ministry. Here's what I mean. Today, let our mind rest not only in the Lord, on the Lord's day, but in all through whom the Spirit has sent God's waking word to us. All the flesh, all flesh, all the saints. For life and death are of supreme importance. This is a day that tradition has set aside to be about life and death. It's about time. And so is my sojourn with you. It's about time. They call this an interim ministry, from Latin meaning in the meantime. And I know you know all about interim ministry through the good offices and work of Reverend Kerry Jackson. I'm not going to explain interim ministry in this sermon. But I say it is about time, about different seasons in pursuit of the love of truth. This is an in-between time. Now, it might seem that in a service of a year, more or less, the term of my work with you, it might seem sensible to hold back, for you, even perhaps for me. Sensible in the emotional protective sense. Not to get too involved, not to put down roots too deep, lest roots need to be pulled up again later. But I invite you further in and further up into the way of Christ. This Christian thing of giving it up for others, of not trying to save yourself, as Jesus puts it, not trying to save your place or your pride or your feelings or a few of your favorite things. Letting it all go in favor of someone you see who needs help, who needs love, who needs community. This Christian thing is not unique to Christianity. I think Jesus would be the first one to deny that this Christian thing is unique to Christianity. The Buddhist and the Muslim and the Jew and others are also on a like path. They also aim there, if by there we might mean aiming to become master of the animal inside you. And what do I mean by animal? Of that stimulus and response creature that is just always reacting to the next thing. To become master of that animal nature and instead become more human. If that's what I mean by there, yes, all the spiritual traditions aim there. To become more and more able to choose the ground of your thought and your feeling and your action. This is the Christian thing. And the others too. But you're here. And so, we follow and listen for elements of the Christian path, the way of the cross. Jesus, in our story this morning, Jesus is teaching this path at a relaxing dinner in a comfortable home. And he chooses that place, a relaxing dinner in a comfortable home, to say to a dinner at your home, don't invite your friends and rich relations. No, invite the poor, invite the lame, invite the blind. Jesus' concern for the moment is not to solve the problem of the loneliness and the powerlessness and the despair of the poor and the lame and the blind, people whom society never sees. No, for the moment, Jesus' concern is to offer his listeners a way, a practice, something to do, a way to work out their own inner development, what Paul calls your own salvation. The strange guest list the guest list of strangers that he recommends, is a way to become aware within ourselves how fearful we are of our own weakness. You know, the fearfulness we have of the sickness that is coming, or that we already have had, or that our beloved has, and the powerlessness, and the softness of mind, and the inattention that are already part of us. We don't like this, and we don't want to show it to people. So we hate it. And we have methods for protecting ourselves from our fears. Jesus is teaching that nice personality and a nice guest list, clean-smelling clothes, well-behaved friends, they're all partly a defense that we put up to keep ourselves from feeling our ego's insignificance. Now there's an All Saints Day theme. That defense, that fear, is the direct cause of all injustice, of all violence. So Jesus says, do this. Invite a poor man in here. Invite a severely disabled woman in here, he says. Don't send money to a nonprofit that's going to handle that population. Oh, okay, do. But don't just do that. Don't feed them from behind a protective wall of distinction as the server. Or do that, but don't just do that. Get them into your house. And do this, yes, for their sake, but for the moment, even more so for your sake, do it. So that you can find out how you are wired inside for self-protection. And with the help of your soul's friends, who are many, that's what a church is for, with the help of your soul's friends, you can continue dismantling the stones of your castle defenses and become a human, free, ready to live and to die. Now that's an All Saints Day theme. Jesus is teaching this most precious possibility when one of the dinner guests interrupts him and changes the subject. He says, blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now that sounds holy, it sounds like he's right on the spot, but Jesus isn't buying it. You see, Pharisees of Jesus' time believed in life after death. Sadducees, a more powerful party in Jesus' time, did not believe in life after death. And so their philosophical or even theological argument had become a cause of political struggle, power struggle. So you see, when the guest hears Jesus make a reference to the resurrection of the dead, he's alert, oh boy, I'm going to get this Jesus on our party platform. You've never heard of that before, have you? A religion being used to get somebody right. What a sly effort. What a sly effort to blunt the cutting edge of Jesus' teaching. Turning your religion into a prop for your politics is exactly what Jesus would undermine with the word he's giving this group. And so Jesus is now about to turn on that man for his sake and use a much rougher sandpaper. He probes for the spiritual disease in his listener. He says, a master invites everyone to a feast. I mean, a really great feast. He invites everyone. It's one for all the saints, where everyone is to be seated, not one missing, all the cripples, all the severely disabled, all the poor, all the children enslaved to greed and to sex trades, all the elderly, all the mentally ill. Everyone is invited. All God's children, and you too. And according to the story, you are invited to come simple. You're invited to come without the fancy dress of your protected personality. And you say, I'm busy. Besides, I'm sick. I cannot come to the banquet. You know that song? I cannot come to the banquet, don't bother me now. I've married a wife, I've bought me a cow. I have bills and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused, I cannot come. Well, one of them has bought land, another cows, and another's got married. Got land. Land is security. Real security. Mark Twain said, buy land and not making any more of it. That is security against strangers and false promises from banks. Got cows? That's income. In the old days, that's income. That's security for the meal later today and tomorrow and a roof over my head. That's, I just got a job. I know what that feels like. Got married? What's that? Oh, it's beautiful. But look at, in terms of the story, married means children and grandchildren, which is the ramp onto the highway of history. That is really security. Myself expressed through the ages. Well, Jesus has thus offered a profound social, psychological, and spiritual analysis of our disease. In our struggle to manage our fears about our insignificant self against the tides of time and loss, we, says his story, we have readily accepted two of the covenant promises of God to Abraham. We said, give me secure land, give me lots of children, please, for a long time to come. Those are promises 1 and 2 in Genesis 12. You can go read it. But we are readily abandoning the third promise that God makes to God's people. God says, you shall be a blessing to all families of the earth. But these who will not go to the banquet don't care about that blessing, about living out that promise. They say, hold me excused, I have concerns. We are have let ourselves become machines of busyness which cannot and will not take time to live into the precious, risky, naked, defenseless reality of the uniquely human gift to become a self in the presence of one with all creation. Jacob Needleman tells a story of walking with a Tibetan scholar on the streets of San Francisco. They're discussing a startling Tibetan allegory for how rare it is to become truly human. Well, then why are there so many humans? Needleman asks the scholar. And the scholar stops, surveying the crowds hurrying by, and he says, Jerry, how many humans do you see? In a flash, Needleman writes, I understood the allegory. Most of the people I was seeing, in the inner state they were in at that moment, were not really people. Not really people at all. They were not really there. They were busy. They were in a hurry. They, like all of us, were obsessed with doing things right away. But right away, he continues, is the opposite of now. the opposite of the lived present moment in which the passing of time no longer tyrannizes us. It's about time. Right away, we might say, is the opposite of coming to the feast. When the master's servant says, "Now come, for all is made ready." It's about time. In the words of the Buddha's evening gatha, I'm sure some of you know this, "Let me respectfully remind you, life and death are of supreme importance. Time swiftly passes by and opportunity is lost. Each of us should strive to awaken, awaken. Take heed, do not squander your lives." All that we do here, I don't just mean in the sanctuary, but I do just mean in the Christian church. All that we do here is about time. About learning and practicing a different way in time than that by which the world winds your watch. That is the way of domination and the way of death. That is the way of violence. The world goes on century after century the same. But the way of relinquishment, the way of the cross, you already are revealing right here. It's here for any eye to see that walks in this space. You are already a living symbol of the kingdom. The way of relinquishment. You got here through the leadership of your previous pastors. Mostly I know of the work of Reverend Smith. You here are a people of many colors, many ages, many musics. That word might... Speller doesn't even recognize. Music's plural. It's the participation of young and old, male and female, gay, lesbian, straight. Yes, you are already showing up as a parable of the kingdom of God. And that parable is not some impossibly distant future thing. It is in this now, this eternal now, where time and its awesome sweeping scythe do not dominate. Are we there yet? I was delighted to read an essay that several of you, I think, have been composing together with a victory shout. Taylor, I saw the name, I'm learning here, sent a message out saying, "The application for the Multicultural Church Story Contest is ready." And there's this essay about this church. The final paragraph of the essay begins, "Are we there yet?" And you know how it's answered. No. No, of course not. We need to broaden, the paragraph goes on. Well, indeed, no church is ever there yet. Any that thought it was would already be in decline. For the gift of God is that our eye continually open to see who is not here. That is why you already are as you are, and there is more to come. It won't happen during my ministry alone with you. But you and I will be looking at the walls within ourselves that have blocked the way for some who are not here. I seek to work with you for an interim like that. I invite you to hard work, but not to worried work and not to busy work. Churches tend to press a lot on the duty button, don't they? It's not so good, actually, in terms of teaching a new way of time. The duty button replaced with the beauty button. Huh? We'll find a way to do that. May this all give way to the beauty of your presence, not the duty of your presence, through the practice of inviting strangers into our midst. May we, with fear and defenses calmed, open ourselves more freely to judge what we are not yet, And to accept the divine power to begin anew, whenever our eye sees how, sees someone, sees something that is not here yet, may we be passionate for the parable of the kingdom that we are becoming, and yet ready with all the saints at the right time to give up what must be relinquished for the body. I commit to you to be ready to do that at the right time. Yes, there will be tears flowing. Of course, there will be tears flowing. It's about time. Amen. Friends, this little song, it isn't so little, it's short, but it's gorgeous, that we're going to sing now has become so beloved for me. It's number 400. And I hope that there might be from our music leaders some room to sing one stanza in Spanish at the end. Can we do that?